Thank you, Holy Ghost, for the presence. Last week, I gave you about 7 points of what consecration is. Point one, I say that consecration is the invoking of our sacredness in Christ. So you are sacred. And two, it is basically a matter of submission and dedication. This is our month of consecration. And then three, as a consecration is a walk in our perfection in Christ Jesus. Four, consecration is the setting up of our spiritual climate with the preeminent presence of the Lord. It is a setting up of our spiritual climate with the preeminent presence of the Lord. Consecration is intentionally yielding every single aspect of our lives to the subduing power of our Lord Jesus. Consecration is submitting our hearts and minds to the waterfall of God's word and the spirit. It means we give ourselves to the daily washing of the word and the spirit. Consecration is the quality of dedicating our totality to the Lord's service in all purity of heart and mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We looked at the scripture in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. When Joshua was preparing to cross Jordan with the Israelites, he said, "Sanctify yourselves this day, for tomorrow the Lord shall do wonders among us." Now, I explained that things don't just happen. And we must understand that things don't just happen. See, I showed you through scriptures that God has already consecrated us in spirit. He has sanctified us. He has made us holy. He has set us apart. And because he's done that, we now have the ability to walk in the consecration which the Lord has established for us. You see, your dimension of manifestation is influenced by your level of consecration. And you must come to that place where you fully apprehend this matter. How you've submitted and dedicated yourself to the Lord. How you've intentionally set up your spiritual climate with the preeminent presence of the Lord will influence your level of manifestation. The extent to which you have submitted your heart and mind to the waterfall of God's spirit and the word will influence your level of manifestation. And so consecration is so important. And you must understand that anyone God uses, he consecrates. And anyone that continues to be used greatly by God is consecrated to God. Consecration begins from your consciousness, how you set your mind up towards God. You see, how have you set your mind up towards God and to the Lordship of Jesus? You know, we've undermined and watered down the Lordship of Jesus. He is my Lord. But you see, for Jesus to be your Lord, if you really know him as Lord, you would walk in consecration. You will walk in consecration. You will not doubt God when you behold his lordship. But in the book of John, after Jesus had resurrected, when Thomas was doubting Jesus, and Jesus manifested himself to Thomas, he said, Bible says, and Thomas bowed. He shook and bowed. And he said, "My Lord and my God." He shook. Look at Paul, who was once called Saul from Tarsus, who had no regard for anybody apart from his religion, and was on manhunt pursuing Christians to destroy them. He heard the Christians had run, some had gone to Damascus. He was on his way with official documents to persecute them. He was there when Stephen was killed. Stephen was stoned to death. He was there. And when he saw the Lord, he went blind. He could not behold him. Look at the way sometimes you negotiate with God. The way you negotiate with God shows how consecrated you are. You see, listen, our walk with God is in stages, but it's in phases. It's in stages and phases. And listen, these stages are cycle, and I'll take time to talk about it later. But within each stage, there is a phase. That phase determines our learning. For example, you go to school, you're in a class. Each class is a stage, but you know you learn in phases. Maybe in level 100 or level 200, but you learn in phases at level 100. Topics are treated in phases. There's a topic you treat at a level where you do the introduction. Those of you at level 100, you do the introductory aspect of the course. Now, the moment you reach level 400, the course that you thought it was writing, you realize that there is nothing writing about it. You've gone to another phase of that course at a different stage. There are things God wants to hand over to you. But what is your stage? At what stage have you gotten to? There is so much the Lord wants to do with us, especially this year. I've been saying it. And consecration is important. Until you are consecrated to the Lord, there are certain graces you cannot manifest. And anyone that operates in any dimension of grace is at a particular level consecrated to the Lord. Listen, consecration is so important. The consecration of your mind towards God. The consecration of your will towards God. The consecration of your emotions towards God. Do you know there is a level of God's will you cannot walk in? You cannot even know until you are consecrated. Oh, you don't know. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, that you may know what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So you to know his will, you must walk in consecration. God will not show some things to you. Like there are some people, they can never, you see, because you see, let me tell you, in consecration, your heart, the compassion of God is alive in your heart. You begin to understand the compassionate heart of God, the loving kindness of God. So when you see men, you can feel what God feels about them. This is why you are not a soul winner. This is why you cannot reach out to souls. This is why you cannot discover opportunities to make a difference in somebody's life, because you are not compassionate towards the Lord. The compassion of the Lord has not found a place in your heart. So you cannot identify opportunities. When I say consecration, when you are submitted and dedicated to God, listen to me. One of the key items of consecration is knowing that you are God's property. You belong to God. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. You cannot decide to do what you like. You cannot decide to watch what you like. Sometimes you think that I can do what I like. You don't know the lordship of Jesus. When you know, listen, John, the brother of Jesus, loved Jesus. He even said, the apostle to whom Jesus loved. Nobody understood the love of Jesus or spoke a lot about the love of Jesus more than John. Yeah. John, even at the Last Supper, he said he put his head on the chest of Jesus. Yeah. He laid his head on his chest. The one to whom Jesus loved. In Patmos, when he met Jesus, when he saw Jesus, the Bible says he shook. Look at it. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Let me start from verse 9. I read very fast. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So because of the word of God and because he bore the testimony of Jesus, he was taken to Patmos. An island. It was like a prison. All right? Verse 10, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in the book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice. So watch. He said, then I turned. So a voice spoke. Then he said, he turned to see the voice. I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and guided about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. You turn and you see a man whose hair is as white as snow, but his eyes are like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Oh, my Jesus. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Now, this is where we have the word Mahira, right? Mahira is a two-edged sword. Two-edged sword, the Greek word is Distomos Mahira. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. So the sun is shining, but this sun is shining in his strength. It means his brightness was more than the sun. He said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. When he saw him, it was this same Jesus. John placed his head on his chest and he said, I am the apostle to whom Jesus loved. When he saw him, he fell at his feet dead. He couldn't stand. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. Do you know who Jesus is? You think Jesus is just that man that died on the cross? The Jesus we call Lord? The Jesus we call Lord cannot die on the cross again. He cannot die on the cross again. I said, if you see Jesus, you will tremble. Listen, I pray you experience this, and you're going to experience this one of your days. One of these days. I've had moments, I've told you, I have moments where Jesus walked into my room, into where I was praying. But anytime the Lord comes, there's something that happens to you first. You will tremble, you will shake. It's not goosebumps. You will shake and you will not feel your feet if you are standing. Anytime, whichever way he unveils himself to you, you will not feel your feet. Before the warmth of love will proceed, there will be trembling. You've not seen Jesus. That is why, you see, he said, when you are consecrated, then you will know. So, do you want to walk in the perfect will of God? You must know. And to know, you must be consecrated. Because until a man is consecrated, he cannot know. There are things in God you cannot know. Listen, this God we serve, there are things in him you don't know yet. Relax, Jesus. Listen, when you meet Jesus, nobody will command you worship the Lord. When you meet Jesus, nobody will command you lift your hands. So you see, when you come for church meeting and you are told, oh, lift your hands, do this, pray, worship, lift your... You have not seen Jesus. This is why you say, this year, it's a sweet year. I don't know about you, but for me, I think it's because we sing, see the Lord laughing, hallelujah. You think he's a comedian. So he's when you truly see, he has made you holy, but yet when you see him, you feel you are not holy. His appearance is as clear as crystal. And you see, when you meet someone who is proud, that person has not seen Jesus. Because you see, you will humble yourself. When it comes to prayer, you are praying, you pocket. You've not seen the Lord. When you see Jesus, you can't be tired. Until you begin to experience consecration, until you begin to practice consecration, listen to me. There are things in God you will not know.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Imosakavo jeleman graton zopra kapabando bodobo ando kosata lababa shaka velibo zobrando koskarandeska.
I show you.
Hallelujah.
Open to 2 Corinthians chapter 6.
See the Lord laughing, hallelujah. See the Lord. I see the Lord. I see the Lord laughing, hallelujah. See the Lord. Oh, I see the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
2 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Oh, Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. You are restricted by your own affections. So what is the extent of your affection? What is the height of your affection? What is the direction of your affection? Do you see? Listen, God can travel with you as long as you can desire. As far as you desire. The limitation in our walk with God is in the intensity of our desire towards God. Our affection. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord was Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Aya to survive. He says, you are a temple. Now, if he talks of temple, he speaks of the word shrine. You are the shrine of the living God. He was specific. He did not just say, you are a shrine of God. He says, you are the shrine of the living God. It means there are gods that are dead. It means there are gods that are not alive. But he says, for you are a shrine of the living God. That is why I explained. I said, there is such a thing as our sacredness. You see, there is a place that is sacred for God. And that place is you. Which means that you can't afford to contaminate yourself When I say contaminate, I mean that don't entertain things that would distract the situation of your mind towards the state which God has brought you. For which agreement has God with idols? Has the temple of God with idols? What have you esteemed in your life than God? Thank you, Holy Ghost. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7, verse 1. Remember, the Bible is not written in chapters. Chapter 7, verse 1. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So you have been brought into holiness. He says you perfect it. The word is telios. It means you come to the maturity of holiness. You walk in the maturity of that holiness. You bring that holiness to manifestation. You have been made holy. I'm not saying become holy. No, you have been made. And you see, you don't consecrate yourself to become righteous. You are the righteousness of God. And because you are the righteousness of God, you consecrate yourself. And you understand that the broad scope of consecration is not just about sin. No, it is bigger than that. It's also about commitment and dedication. Let me tell you, anything a priest puts his hand on is separated. When I'm talking to you about consecration and being separated to God, I'm talking about your usefulness being also towards God. Because the use of a thing is not in a generic sense when it comes to consecration. When it comes to consecration, the use of a thing is giving specification. So for example, drums are not holy. Drums are not anointed. But the moment these drums, number one, were purchased, pay attention, two things. Number one, the drums were purchased with the money that was to be given to God. It means the drums is purchased by God's money. That is one. Two, and it's for the use of God. Now, the moment it's purchased with God's money, it's for the use of God. These drums cannot be used at an ungodly party. As you see these drums, as you look at it, it is separated. How much more you? How much more you? When the priest puts his hand on a cup, that cup is for the service of God, in the temple of God. When a priest puts his hand on anything, it is separated to the service of God. The high priest has placed his hand on you. Jesus, our high priest, has put his hand on you. Listen, you cannot be used for any other thing than for God's purpose. That is consecration. You must come to that place to know that I am consecrated for the usage of God. You cannot be used by a political party. You must be used by God. You cannot be used by any company. You should be used by God. Listen, listen. If you are only used by a company and not first used by God, there is disorder. So then what happens? Does that mean I should work? No. It means in that company you are, all right, you are not there for the company. You are there for God first. You are first there for God. Some of that are students. You are not in school for school. You are in school for God. The hand of God is upon you. He has separated you for his usage in that school to bring transformation in that school. It's a consecration. He has consecrated you. So if in case you are going in for SRC president, the purpose of SRC president is for the gospel. If you cannot, then you don't. And therefore, it means that before you even go in for SRC president, God must send you. That I'm sending you to be an SRC president. That is why, listen, you cannot say you are everybody's doing masters in UK, so you are going to do your masters in UK. Who sent you? Probably God wants you to actually go to China for your masters so that you can spread his good news, his gospel in China. Unless God is sending you to a particular institution. So you must know that when you become born again and you are bought by God and you are consecrated to God, you are a sent man. Wherever you go as a sent man of God. A man sent by God for his God's purpose. I'm separated. He said, come out from among them and be ye separated unto him. This is what makes you a businessman with a difference, makes you an employer with a difference or an employee with a difference, makes you a student with a difference. Why? You are consecrated. I'm set apart. So you don't do what you like. When you became born again, you confess the lordship of Jesus. It means right from your new birth, you are under his lordship. He is your Lord. So the way you can skip prayer time and play with your phone, are you sure he's your Lord? Are you sure you're consecrated? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, these chapters, they are all around the same verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We start from verse 11.
And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Shout hallelujah. Say this, I am washed. I am sanctified. Say it again, I am washed. I am sanctified. I am set apart. I am justified.
What does it mean to be justified? To be justified means to be declared not guilty or to be declared righteous, all right? So you are declared righteous. Glory to God. And he said, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but...
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
All things are not helpful. Another thing he says, all things are not profitable. So you see, consecration brings you to a place of profit. Consecration is not for the benefit of God. Consecration is for your benefit.
That's why some of you must put parental guidance, the highest version, on your phone. You must put it on your phone. There are some numbers you should delete. There are some friends you must avoid. Come ye from among them and be ye separated. Come from among them. There are some company you should not keep any longer.
You must constrain yourself.
And you see, listen, you see, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. Do you understand? So the question is it profitable?
So there is a level you come to, some things are not profitable to you.
Are you sure you are here? Let me read this verse quickly and then we close. Is the Lord blessing you? Are you learning?
Yes, glory! Glory! All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So there are times, okay, it's lawful. I still want to engage myself, but I should not be brought under the power. It means you don't come under the influence of that thing.
He said, food for the stomach and stomach for food, but God would destroy both it and them.
Now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body.
So it means you can come under the dominion of food and sexual immorality.
Verse 14. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Oh, hallelujah. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. The two shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Are you joined to the Lord? I am one spirit with the Lord. Zakoshekatus makosh.
He said, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body.
Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? He said, you are not your own. See verse 20. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So it's not just your spirit that is God's. Your body is also God's. Your body belongs to God. He said, glorify. It means you can glorify God in your body.
That's why we don't say that. No. How do you say it in English? Worship the Lord in our heart, not outward, right? It's not an outward thing.
No. He said, your body also belongs to God. It was not just your spirit that Jesus bought. He bought both your spirit and your body. It is his property. He owns it. So, you know, your body, the Bible says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. Wow. I've told you before, you cannot lose your salvation. Me, I've told you. Is that not it? So this is not to say that you are going to hell. No, this is to say that you must come to the place of manifestation. And before you can walk in manifestation, there has to be consecration. But you know what? Your consecration, your level of consecration is at the level of your revelation of Jesus. How much Jesus is revealed in you will show how you are consecrated to him. What's the revelation of Jesus? So have this in mind, that you glorify God in your body.
You know, sometimes some people, they go like, when God talks to me, God has been dealing with me for some time now, and I've been battling with God.
You've been battling?
Hey. I've been battling with God.
This is something you should cry about.
God has been talking to me for the past 6 years. God has been talking about something. I've not yet done it. And you know, sometimes the way they feel about it, and some of them are pastors, and they've made Christians feel that it is normal for God to talk to you and not to do. You know, for the past 6 months, they take their handkerchief and they clean their face. Then they hold it like that. God has been talking to me about a matter for the past 6 months.
But I've not really done anything about it. I've been thinking about it.
God has told you, I'll call Lord. You are thinking about it. You are not bought yet. You don't know you are bought. You are not walking in the revelation of Jesus. So our walk in the revelation of Jesus is not just to say that, oh, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm justified. I'm holy. I'm perfect. No, no, no. It also says that I am bought. I'm his property. It means your eyes are his property. So as you subject Jesus who is in you, as you subject his eyes, which is his, the eyes you have, it belongs to him. As you subject it to those videos, see the Lord laughing, hallelujah, see the Lord. So you see, God cannot entrust more into your hands. Because what your eyes are seeing, you cannot see more in the spirit. Thank you, Jesus. It's time to walk in the fullness of consecration. Are you sure you are here? It's time. It's time. It's time. I said it's time. I have to share more on the reality, the practice, all right? Because your consecration determines what becomes a reality in your life. You see? I understand this. Your consecration is your response to God. So you see, so when you see that I'm passionately trying to do something for God, take a step for Jesus, dedicated, committed to the cause of the Lord, and all that, let me tell you, it is a response. It's not like I'm trying to do that, then I can receive. No, because I've received of the Lord, I do. I am consecrated to the Lord. See, my tongue is separated to God. My body is consecrated. My spirit is consecrated. My mind is consecrated. My thoughts are consecrated. My words are consecrated. My emotions are consecrated. Glory to God. I'm consecrated. Lift your hands and begin to speak in tongues. Begin to talk to God. Say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the grace. Thank you, sweet Holy Ghost. Because we have the Holy Ghost, we can walk in the reality of our consecration. So valare bosh cabrantes cobabarosh. Rakatos kamando le bosh. Rakilos of alashe. Hey, rapalando salabaya. Rapalando salabaya. Reconde consacratasco bashe. Oh, I thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm separated unto you. I am bought with a price. Before you go into that relationship, is it God that moved you into that relationship? Is it God? I'm separated to God. I'm separated to God. I am made holy. I'm righteous. I'm perfected in Christ Jesus. And I walk in this reality. You know, brethren, our walk in this reality is consecration. Consecration is walking in righteousness. Consecration is walking in your holiness. Consecration is walking in your perfection. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I am consecrated. I am consecrated. I am consecrated. When you walk in consecration, there is no practice of sin. You see, there is no practice. You see, you are dead to sin. Sin has no dominion over you. Anything you do that is wrong and sinful, it's not your nature. It's just a choice. It's like a lion eating grass. Like a lion eating grass. That's what it is. I'm the righteousness of God. Or a cow chewing meat. It's not in your nature, but you are practicing it. I say you are the righteousness of God. Walk in this reality. Walk in righteousness. Walk in perfection. Walk in love. That's what Christ has achieved in you. He said, be ye separated. I step out of the habitation of darkness.
of any habitation of darkness in my life, I step out. Glory!
Come on, wave your hands to Jesus. We're going to thank him. Receive fresh grace. Receive fresh grace. Receive fresh grace. Receive fresh grace. Malenon kasako balagesha balai. Receive fresh grace. I said, receive fresh grace. Receive fresh grace. Take that grace. It is yours. You are different. I said, you are not like others. You are unique. You are different. You are separated. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you. In your name. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah.